nervous. I'm nervous, but I'm very grateful that I have the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. So the topic is living the principles. And so I've been praying about this, actually. I was asked, well, I kind of volunteered, actually, I think, and on accident. I was sitting at an activities meeting, and back in the summer, where I was at a prime time in my recovery, and I was like, well, right here, living the principles. This is what we need to talk about right here. Look, this is what I'm experiencing right here, right now. And so a few weeks ago, I'm like, wait, what is your topic? So I look back in the minutes from August, and I'm like, okay, living the principles. You really have not been doing this lately. So let's look at this. And so I was praying, like journaling, like, okay, how am I going to share? You know what we do, right? How are we going to share? What are we going to say? What am I going to say? And let me get to the page. So there actually, here it is, all my highlighting. So, you know, I made all these notes and I read this section in the Living Clean book about 3 times now in the last 3 days, twice today already. And there's a lot of good information here, but I know I'm not going to end up directly sharing from here. And so I've prayed, you know, for higher power to get me out of here and for me to share out of my heart. So I'm hoping that's what happens. Okay, so... well, I want to say that there's a lot of people here right now,
yeah.
or more than this morning, and so I'm just, okay. All right, so living our principles. So when I brought up the topic, what I was experiencing in my life, I was coming to the end of the steps. I had just wrapped up working step 12, and... So for those, most of you in here don't know me, so I am a chronic relapser. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous in 96 or 97, and I stayed for about, until 01, and then I left for about 10 years, so I think that's 10 years. I came back in 15, and I have been here since 15. So I have been around the program for a minute. But my clean time does not reflect that. I have over 2 years now. My clean date is 10/12/23. And I feel like I'm in the best place, honestly, like the best place that I've ever been in my life, period, my life. I've learned through working these 12 steps, like I had to clean the slate. I had to clean the slate, and I had been told over and over and over again, I had heard it a million times, everything has to change, everything has to change. One of my sponsors was like, you're in denial, you acting like you know it all, and because I had all the knowledge up here, but I wasn't willing to change anything. And what finally came to light to me was, all these years you've been trying to fit NA in your life, and fit in your life, and not, you know, not willing, you know, I have the career, I have these kids, and I had these faces, these masks that I had to wear, you know, and be this, the different hats in my life, and so I had these responsibilities, and so NA had to fit into that, but I wasn't willing to change where I could fit into NA, you know, and see what the new way of life had for me. And I think that's where I am now, is like, because I realized this past summer, I just recently shared about this, I was sitting at an out-of-state meeting, and I didn't know anybody, and the meeting was, I was struggling with my relationship with God, and it was a popsicle stick meeting, and I pulled God. And I'm like, really? And so then I'm sitting there in this meeting, and I'm listening to other people share, and I wasn't really planning on sharing. And the one person shared about whatever she was sharing on, like the light bulb clicked, and like change. Like you've been told all these years everything has to change, and you hadn't been willing to do it. But in that moment, at that time, I realized like everything has changed. My job has changed. Where I live has changed. My attitude has changed. My perspective has changed. And even this relationship with God is in the process of change right now, because I found myself very lost. And hold on, because I was going to set a timer. Because I can overshare. So I'm going to say 15 minutes. Okay, that gives Dan 20. Okay. So I found myself there. And, you know, and it says it here too, under the Living Our Principles. It talks about being at a place, I'm not going to be able to, here it is, okay. The sense of wonder we experience in our own lives as if we were seeing them for the first time brings an array of feelings. Our hearts break for the harm we have caused, while at the same time we are filled with joy and gratitude for the gift of recovery. And the big part in that paragraph there is the sense of wonder and seeing things for the first time. Like, I was being freed from things I didn't even know I needed freed from. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing things in a different light. Like, everything was so bright. And I was just so, and I am still, like, full of this gratitude. Like, oh my God, I can't believe how I've been living. I mean, I'm 53 years old. And I started using when I was about 13. 13's the first time, 12 or 13, you know. And so all these years that I have been seeing life in the wrong perspective, in my opinion now. Like, I saw it wrong. I was living by defects. Those were my survival skills. And so, you know, and also, like, in and out of this program, or staying in but not staying clean, you know, I'd do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, do a little bit of 4, and then I'd stop, 1, 2, 3, that same pattern over and over again. And then people were saying, just stay, trust it, and go through 6, 7, and 8, and 9, because that's the meat of the program. Like, that's where the change happens. And so, like, out of desperation, because I did not, for the first time too, I was getting clean for myself and not for my kids. Not because I got busted for my kids. I got caught. That's how I always ended up, like, okay, I'll go to treatment. And it was always a relief to get caught, but I was ultimately really doing it for them, not for me. And so this time, like, both my girls knew that I was using, and I was living by myself, and they're adults, and they're like, Mom, we know what you're doing. I'm like, I know you do. And I found myself, like, I think I was overdosing in my house, and I was on my couch, and I'm like, this is not how you're going to go out. My kids and my grandson is not going to go to your funeral because of drugs. And I got up, and I cleaned myself up for a little bit, and I did not stay clean even after that day, but that's a big motivator for me. And so I was desperate, and, like, things started really popping out in the literature. I was working the steps full throttle and full heart, like, that desperation, you know, something's got to change, I can't keep living this way. And, you know, things I read, I don't know, a million times probably. The defeat of admitting my defeat of the addiction. Like, I always said, I'm not going to let this beat me. You know, I'm going to win. It's not going to beat me. But it was. I couldn't control it. And it was getting harder and harder to dig out of the black hole and to walk back through the door or to keep coming to meetings and act like everything's fine. I'm still clean, and just not pick up the pretend, you know, like, oh, do they know that I haven't picked up any tags lately? You know, those kinds of things. Okay, so now what it's about for me, you know, I don't have, very rarely, I could say, I did have some thoughts of using this last couple weeks, but very rarely do I have, like, a full desire to want to go pick up. And so I can say that miracle has happened for me. It's lifted. Today it is lifted. I don't have a desire to use dope today. I have a desire to do other shit. I mean, seriously, like, over the break, this is where I wasn't living by principles. I got sucked into self-obsession and compulsion and doing things, just obsessed. Like, you know, spending a bunch of money on a credit card and buying 5 pairs of shoes. You know, like, who needs 5 pairs of shoes at one time? Like, I don't need that. I got a lot of shoes in the closet. You know, just these things. And I started feeling that feeling of desperation and that sickness inside of me that I felt like when I was coming to the end of my using this last time. And I called my, I don't even know if I called my sponsor, but I'm like, okay, you got to stop. I did call my sponsor, and I told her, I got honest about what I'd been doing, and I've been told I'm at a financial, at a place in my financial life, like, you're hitting the bottom. Like, you're in the frontier. Things are fixing to look up and change for you because you're getting, you know, I'm just getting that desperation of, like, something, I can't keep living this way. And so that's principles, you know, applying principles in my life, being able to see that. something that actually has been coming to my mind a few times by about thinking about this topic is, you know, using for me usually was about escaping my reality because my life was stressful, it was busy to me, and I, you know, it takes a lot of work to wear all the mask and make everybody think everything's okay, and so it would be like, I just need a break, and that would take me downhill, and I would down spiral real fast. I never seemed like I stayed out, like I would stay gone forever, but it would be hard enough and long enough where it was hard to get clean and just get back. I could just never get back on my feet right. So anyway, through the steps and some other things that I did to get some healing, you know, I had trauma that I was healing from too, and I needed some outside help for that. And it was pointed out, like, you know, addiction ultimately at the beginning was trying to protect me because, you know, there's trauma and crap, and like I would hear this little voice like, oh, let's go do this, and I was asked to name this voice, and I gave it, like, instantly I thought about Dennis the Menace and like, come on, like this mischievous little kid, like, come on, let's go over here and do this. And binge eating is a thing in my life that I think that's really where my addiction started, because like my mom always had us on diets and crap, and so I would go sneak and really fast, like eat the stuff I wasn't supposed to eat so I wouldn't get caught. And that's where it started. And so I was asked to name a name to this voice. And that same voice has carried on throughout my life. And it's always, even with the cravings of wanting to use, like, it was that voice of like, come on, let's go over here. Let's just go do this. And so I would try to, you know, make the voice go away, like, just stop, make it go away, make it stop, and treat it harshly. And then I was asked to, well, what if you give that voice some compassion and love, you know, because ultimately it's been trying to protect you your whole life, and be like, you know what, you know, that's what we used to do, but now we got this. This is what we can do now. So why don't you, the voice, follow me now, mm-hmm. instead of me following that voice. And it really made sense to me, and you know, I hadn't really thought about that in over a year really, and it's been coming back to my mind lately, probably because I've been in the disease with shopping and stuff like that. So 6 minutes. Okay, so in the literature it says here, we apply the principles and we apply effort. We apply ourselves to changing our perspective. Like, I'm not just, I got to remove the drugs, remove the problem, remove the shoes, remove the binge watching Netflix, remove whatever, the constant, because I'm bad about that too, and get still and get quiet so I can get in here and do this, because I can't do it. And that's what I'm always running from. And so every time, like, it just happened even on the way here yesterday. Like, I was leaving work, I got all the things, and I was like, oh, let me stop at Hebert, and I'll get me a coffee. And, like, I'm listening to the music, and I was still, and I was just like, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, like, I just start tearing up. And it's this feeling that comes in me when I'm still and quiet, you know, and I don't know where it comes from, why it comes, but that's something I run from. That's something I want to escape from. And in here it talks, you know, living our principles. When I read this, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be reading about spiritual principles. But really the key takeaways for me from this whole section is what am I doing with my feelings? You know, applying the principles, yes, because that's where I'm going to change my perspective on things. But it really goes in depth in here about, like, our feelings. And what am I doing with them? Like, they're there. They're always going to be there. Sometimes I don't have any control over it. That feeling that comes, it's a flow. It comes and goes. It comes and goes. But what am I going to do when it comes? And so the goal is to, like, practice a principle. Like, notice, okay, you're here, but I don't have to let it consume me. And it talks about that in here. I don't have to let it consume me. I can. There's things I can do that I learned from you guys. I learn how, you know, I can pick up the phone, because it also talks about in here, just like when I have a craving to use dope, tell somebody. And I'm bad about that. I don't tell people. I think I can do it on my own, or they don't want to hear my stuff, or I don't need to tell you. And so it's become really apparent lately, like, even the feelings, like what I'm thinking in my head, I need to tell people to get it out of here. And so that's something that was in here. I've changed some things since I realized, like, you got to clean your act up. You got to do this workshop. That was the motive. But the reality is I was in a bad place and I needed to apply some principles in my life. And I have experienced pretty much what it says in here. And it happens every single time. Every single time. And I was explaining it to someone that's not in the program this week. And I'm like, you know, I don't know why I was talking about this morning. You know, we said the surrender part, like, I'm powerless. My life is unmanageable. That applies to so many areas in my life. You know, I am powerless over what my kids do, my adult kids, and all this stuff. That's where a lot of we're used to. Like, I would drown in that shame and guilt, wake up crying about it, blaming myself because you didn't raise them right. Look how you lived while they were being raised. And that's my strongest example for the surrender part, is that when I surrendered that, when I realized and I got into the solution, like talking about it and telling someone how I was feeling and reading our literature and then turning to higher power and praying about it, those things, those simple suggestions, no matter what the problem is, what's making my life unmanageable, I'm getting confirmed over and over again that I get freedom. Eventually freedom comes. Eventually peace comes. The situation might not have changed, but in here has changed. It allows me to step back and wait and watch and trust the process, you know? Trust what higher power might do or not do, you know? And also I realized a lot of times, you know, I can pray for acceptance. But a lot of times I need to be praying for courage to change something I need to change. And I'm bad about that. Another thing, wrapping it up at 1 minute and 52 seconds. I really liked, this was an eye-opener for me. You know, I've heard a lot about, I get unconditional love in here. And I learned how to give unconditional love. But here it ends this whole section with unconditional hope. And there's a difference between wishing and hoping. Mm-hmm. And it says here, let's see, where does it say it? Two times it says in this section about there's a difference between hope and wishing, but the hope we get in recovery is not that we'll win the lottery or true love will return to us. Hope begins when we think that it might be possible for us to stop using against our will, my own will, and stay clean. And I side noted here, like, stay clean from whatever the substance is, you know, like those things I said. It's not drugs anymore. And we find it again and again as our journey continues. In the dark moments when we realize we can go on anyway, in our triumphs, it is possible. It is possible we can break free from the cycle, that cycle of insanity. It's possible we can exceed our dreams. It's possible that we are much more than we ever gave ourselves credit for. Like, I am my worst critic. Worst. Each time we realize it's possible. I'm going to reply it to me. Each time I realize it's possible, my faith grows stronger. And it does. Like, I am a testimony of that. It does. Hope doesn't end no matter how much better or worse it gets. I know that there is still reason to look forward. And I begin to experience unconditional hope. And I can honestly say, there we go, that that has happened in my life. Like, I don't, there's things that need changing in my life. And I got really sucked into the look at where you're at right now. And the remorse of, look how much time you've wasted and where you could be. Look where your friends are that stayed clean all these years. And doing that comparison crap leaves me in a bad place. And I can't stay there. So this tells me, but look how they didn't start out that way. Y'all are my role models. We're our eyes and ears, or however that saying goes. And with that, I'll turn it over to Nan.
Well, hey, y'all. My name's Dan. I'm an addict.
Hey.
Man, I'm really nervous, too, about this. And I'm nervous because of how I have felt led to share today, and what I've been kind of felt led to share in the way that I've felt led to share about this. When I first heard this, and I'll tell you a little bit about kind of how I do that. You know, when I'm asked to share, I don't think about it that much. I'll be driving along and thinking about it a little bit. Nah, I can talk about this. I can talk about that, and whatnot. But usually, right up to the point where I'm gonna get up and share, the day before. Something like that. Then I'll start putting together a framework of what I'm going to share about, and I'll stay inside of that framework and kind of go with like what comes to me while I'm sharing. So that's the way that I've kind of done this, and the framework that I got like blew my mind and was totally unexpected. And I, to the point that I've talked to a couple of people to see if it's even appropriate for me to do it this way. So we'll see. I will say that when I first heard this, when I was first told that I was going to be sharing on the topic of living our principles, I was like, oh, hell yeah. That's a great topic. Because we talk about there are folks in the room. I'm looking at some guys around here that we talk about being principled men, living as being principled men upward toward 100 times a year. You know? And so that's a topic, living principles. That's life. You know, that's where it's at. And so I thought, oh, well, this is going to be fine. This is going to be easy. So I go through my process. And so I'll be driving to work and be thinking about what I'm going to share kind of a little bit. And this person came into my mind. You know, every time I would think about it, something that a person said to me would, it was like, yeah, that's where that started for me. And so that's definitely going to be in there. That's always going to be in there. Then later on, I started thinking about kind of things a little more, fleshing it out a little more. And something else that person said to me, it was like, yeah, that was a big point in my recovery about this very topic. And so last night I realized, damn, I didn't know I was going to do this. Last night I realized that I was going to share today about Matt F. So for those of you who know Matt F., and a lot of people knew him a lot better than I did and were a lot closer to him than I was, But that dude was Mr. Recovery when I first got here. You know, I mean, that dude worked steps, shared about steps. Every meeting was about steps. I was real early in recovery. I remember, I don't know if I had 6 months clean yet when I watched Matt pick up 9 years. And that's like, that's the dude right there, you know? And early on in my recovery, you know, my head would be going everywhere in meetings. But when he would introduce himself and start to share, then I was going to listen to what he was saying. And so there was some time, and it would be real poetic if it had been at the winter convention or the winter retreat at the time, you know. But it was somewhere. It could have just as easily been at Matt or Don's or somebody or Kurt's poker table that Matt turned around to me and said, what's the program of Narcotics Anonymous? And I was like, the steps, you know? And he's like, yeah, maybe. That's part of it. That's part of it. But what is the program of Narcotics Anonymous? And so I started kind of hem-hawing. You know, I might have a year clean at this point. You know, I'm in there. I'm working. You know, I'm doing this deal. I'm for real. And so I'm hem-hawing around. And finally he goes, our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily life. That's the program. That's the program. And that clicked. Man, all this step work, all these meetings, all that stuff that I was doing suddenly made sense. It's not all a bunch of separate shit. It's, man, I've got a sponsor and I'm working the steps to learn spiritual principles and to learn how to practically apply spiritual principles in my life. I'm going to meetings to watch other people and to talk about practically applying spiritual principles. I'm reading the literature to learn about spiritual principles and how to practically apply them. I'm praying and meditating to ask a higher power's guidance in practicing spiritual principles in my life. That's what it's all about. That's the program. That's how I change from what I do as an addict to what I do as a recovering person. Because that's not what my first thought is. My first thought is, what am I going to do? What if I get out of this? How do I, you know, it's like I still can't drive. 20 years later, I still can't drive down the road without seeing an easy lick over there, you know? But it's been a long time since I've fleshed that out, you know? So that was the first thing. I learned so much from that dude. I learned so much from Matt. But that was one of the first major things that I learned from him. And that's where I started working on spiritual principles and where the whole of the program came together for me. That's what it's about. Later on, I was hearing Matt share. And I don't know, I don't remember if it was at a convention. I don't remember if it was at a meeting, you know. Could have been anywhere. He was speaking, I know. And he was talking about working spiritual principles. And he said, but you know, man, I know all these spiritual principles, but you know what? I've got to temper spiritual principles with other spiritual principles. You know? Because that clicked something in me because I could use spiritual principles to justify bad behavior. I can be honest. You know? I can say, well, I'm just being honest. But if I'm, you know, And if I'm seeing something in somebody else that is harmful for them, you know, that I feel like is harmful, that I need to share with them, and it hurts their feelings, if I mean to help them with that, man, then that's practicing a spiritual principle. That's being honest when it's hard to be honest. But if I think they're kind of an asshole, and I think they need to get knocked down a peg, and I want to throw a spiritual principle at them, you know, then that ain't a spiritual principle, you know. That's me being an asshole. That's not practicing spiritual principles. And I remember, and Matt also said, he was the one that said something that I picked up, and I think it was in the same share. He was like, a lot of people say they want people that are brutally honest. I don't. Brutal means you intend to hurt me. You know, if I'm doing something and if somebody's being real with me and it hurts me, well, that's kind of, man, sometimes that's what I need. Sometimes I need to feel that hurt, you know, to wake me up. But what was the motive? And so that's where I learned about motive. That's where I started learning about motive. I was in a situation at one time that I was doing something really nice for, I mean, like over the top nice for somebody, going real out of my way, and they kind of screwed me over, and it pissed me off, man. I was so mad about it. I would wake up mad about it and tell everybody that I could talk to about it. And go to bed thinking about it. And that happened for a few days until I finally called my sponsor. And I'm talking to my sponsor, bitching at them about it. And they were like, well, maybe you need to look at why you're so self-centered about this. And I was like, fuck you, and hung up on them. Or they said, yeah, I should write about it. You know? And so I told them, screw you, and hung up. And then I went and wrote about it. It was at that point that I realized that it doesn't matter what other people are doing. I'm still responsible to practice spiritual principles. Even when somebody else isn't practicing spiritual principles with me. And that can get hard, man. Because I'm a selfish fucker. Man, for sure. And I'm self-centered. And I have this ego, man, but that's why we got these spiritual principles, and that's why we've got this program, because I don't have to act on that. This gives us a guideline to follow in our lives. These spiritual principles are a guideline to follow in our lives. And then there was a third major. There was a third major thing that this person taught me. Because I'd like to say that it's a happy story, but Matt relapsed and Matt died with decades clean. And that shook the recovery community around here. And it shook me. Because if that person can relapse and die, I ain't got a fucking chance. You know? And what I learned then, and what I really put words to last night as I was thinking about this, was that the spiritual principles that I work today don't keep me clean tomorrow. I've got to clean tomorrow. I've got to work those principles tomorrow too. Just being good, being a good person for a little while doesn't give me a pass. I'm an addict. I will continue to be an addict. I will continue to need spiritual principles in my life to not act a fool and eventually go back to getting high and die. So I hope that that me sharing about him, I hope that you understand the love and respect I have for him, and still, and that I know that was a hard part of his story, but that's the story. That's what happened. And that's another thing about spiritual principles, is that when we're living in spiritual, in a spiritual place in our life, it can turn the worst things in our life into value. The worst parts of my life, the stuff I wanted to die over, the stuff that I got high over, is valuable now to help other people with. And thank you for letting me share. Yeah.